Yo.
Oh, I remember Juan Epstein, that old podcast.
2011. We back, bitches.
I thought for a moment.
Not that we went anywhere.
Well, no. For a moment, it was about to be called Juan Jackson.
No. Why Juan Jackson?
No, it was going to be called Juan Jackson.
No, no, no.
Why?
Well, that wasn't it. Sorry,
Epstein
it
Jackson.
No, it was like Shaniqua Epstein.
Yeah, Shaniqua Epstein.
Why, because she was going to take over?
Juan was gone. Oh. Everyone was scared. Everyone goes, because I started trying to freak everyone out. They're like, is Syfe ever coming back? I was like, sorry, guys, it's Shaniqua Epstein.
He's done. Here's the thing. We have Quali here.
Is this the first Juan Epstein since you've been back?
Yes.
Yeah, but here's the
thing. It's everything.
I'm honored and blessed.
But don't get it twisted.
Uh-huh.
If I would have got fired from Hot 97, I still would have done Juan Epstein.
Absolutely, of
course.
And
I would have talked crazy.
Oh, it would have been amazing. And I would have had to sit there still abiding by Hot 97's rules while you're crushing the game.
Also, sidebar, don't get it twisted. If I wasn't coming back, you were getting let go too.
What,
they gonna keep you?
Camilo and Rosenberg.
True.
Camilo and Rosenberg, he's Colombian, man.
Yeah.
Damn, you were looking out like that too?
I could have stepped up too, you know.
Two blacks.
A black and a Jew.
Black and a Jew.
Quali and Rosenberg.
That would have been a lawsuit.
This is the first time. The Juan Epstein fans have wanted to hear from you, Syfe Sounds.
Yeah. No, you know what? I wanted to speak on it. I wanted to speak on a lot of things. And when I tell you that, my boss has had me on radio, communication, social shutdown.
Dad.
They even told me, don't go out. Don't go hanging out. I was just telling Camilo, I went out one night I went out to see Camilo at a club in Jersey, and the love I was getting was luxurious.
I could make a joke right there, but
everyone
don't, don't even bother. I can tell you about the jokes my uncle made when I saw him the other day, my racist uncle. He had some comedy. He was like, how's your friend Syfe? But.
So we here though.
We survived. Yep. The Juan Epstein heads know. Everyone who knows Syfe, and I feel like our Juan Epstein listeners know what Syfe's like.
I done been to the comedy club, and I know Syfe before he was even a comedian. He's just a funny dude. You know what I'm saying? So it's like.
Oh, look at this chick. S'more's back.
Ray Charles. This is a.
Yeah, I know Quali for a long time, man.
The Raucous days.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you met a young Syfe? Much thinner Syfe.
I don't know the first time we met.
I think we met when you was doing Flex Show. Like, I probably was a guest on Flex.
No, I had to be before that.
Yeah, I would think it had to be before that.
No, I think it was around that time.
Well, because what year did you get to Raucous? They were already popping. They were already dominating the underground.
That's what I'm saying. I think I met you before I worked at Raucous.
Sorry, guys. By the way, Camilla's just going to barge in.
Are you recording?
Surely.
Yo, Young Chow. Yo, when I tell you,
hey, how are you?
Young Child just walked in, and when I tell you, what up? Someone that I am deeply jealous of is this fucking bastard right here.
Why?
What's up, my brother?
Because he's fucking young, fly, goes to the club, rips it down, 100 bitches staring at him. This fucking guy came out at Labor Day at Mr. C's party, Five Alarm Blaze, came out with the fireman suit and two hot fire girls dancing upside down.
Upside down.
If it makes you feel any better, up until about 3 days ago, I thought everyone was just pronouncing Young Child wrong. So I only recently learned it's actually Chow.
Yeah, that's King Chow's son.
I know. I was educated on it.
Yo, Chow.
What's
up? Can you sticking up for me, man?
When?
In the streets.
In Brooklyn.
Of course I was, man.
Please, can you tell him I'm not like that?
Listen, man. Is the mic on, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so listen. Syfe Sounds is a good person, you know what I'm saying? From the first day I met him to now, he's a real good person.
Like,
besides the hate I have for you,
you know what I'm saying?
Besides that deep-seated.
The hate for me, it's all good. You know, I know what it is. But other than that, Syfe Sounds is a real good person, you know what I'm saying? I know he meant nothing by that comment. And, you know what I mean? I just think I should really, like, you know what I mean? Give Syfe a chance because he's a good dude, man. And I still got love for you, and I always had your back from day one.
Why wouldn't you have love for me? You embarrassed me at Jabba's birthday party.
Yo, shut up, man.
What, he destroyed you?
He went on right before me. What a mistake.
No one cared.
Never again. He's fucking guy.
Syfe, comedy.
That's my new lane. Fucking guy got on before me and tore it
So while we're talking shit about people we like personally,
yeah,
let's talk shit about this guy, Talib Kweli.
I don't like Kweli.
I can take it.
He has a new regular DJ gig in Miami.
It's not a regular DJ gig.
You said you already did it a few times.
I said I do it mad times.
And it's not new.
That don't make it regular.
Where is it?
It's at Soho House. Soho Beach House in Miami.
Okay, I don't mind the Kweli being a DJ.
Right.
I don't mind it.
Hold on, wait, there's a but coming up. Hold on.
No, not but.
Okay,
because
there's a however.
Is there however?
I don't mind Kweli DJing because he is a 100% bona fide hip hopper.
Hip hop fan.
Okay. Hip hop lover.
All right. So even though he wasn't a trained DJ always, you give him the pass because he's such a hip hop head.
Yes. That's real music right there.
And I will say this, man. Like, when I DJ, it's clearly people are not hiring me so far for the music. They're hiring me for the celebrity factor. So there are DJs who work every weekend who got to get gigs. I ain't trying to take no gigs from nobody. But, man, I know my music. I collect records for years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I DJ in my crib for friends and family before I even started to do that. Hey, man, and I got to, you know, increase my revenue streams, man. Y'all ain't purchasing
buying albums.
Records. So, you know what I'm saying?
I want you to know you are one of about five people I can say this to. When Revolutions Per Minute came out, actually went on and copped on iTunes.
Thank you.
Purchased.
Appreciate
it. It is a short list, my friend. His last album.
Oh, yeah.
I actually went out and spent the dough.
I bought every CD.
Every Kweli CD?
Every Kweli CD.
Even when he was rhyming all weird around the Beautiful Struggle, which I give him a hard time about every time I see it.
All of that.
Yeah, all through that?
I go and buy. Yo, you know what CD I just bought? Sorry, sidebar. I had it already on the computer, but I went to buy the CD, the Ghostface album. That shit is cranking.
Which one?
The new one. Apollo's Kids.
Yeah.
Yo.
Ghost ain't made no whack albums.
Never.
Ghost doesn't make whack albums.
No, that R&B
I haven't even sat with you. No,
that was
the R&B one.
I know, but
I like the R&B one.
It was...
You got to sit with it, I'm telling you.
No, not the R&B. No, I like the R&B one. The one before that, I didn't like.
No.
He had
More Fish. You could question More Fish. That was throwaways. That had throwaways.
That's the only way.
Because that was Def Jam like, yo, you got one more? We can just throw it out.
That's Def Jam like, yo, we going to put out like 10 albums this Christmas.
Right. Listen, hold on. Where are all the real rappers that we have? Call him. Where's Redman? Ghostface. Sheik Looch. All these fucking losers. Call them and let them put their album out in the last week.
Get out. Yo, that Ghostface album is hot.
The disrespect from Def Jam. Although I appreciate them having the gods on the label, I wish they didn't force them all in December.
Right, too many gods for you in December?
Too many gods in December, man. Is it God's month? Gods. Can that be God's month? I don't know how. Sipe says sometimes.
That's the God month.
God month is the seven.
See? When's the God hour? Seven.
Seven.
I know now.
God means seven. That's what you got to remember.
Always.
Yeah, God is seven.
What's the seventh letter?
Huh?
What's the seventh letter?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
G. Medio is with the one F.
You know what G is?
God.
G is God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! It keeps going in circles!
Right.
I'm pretty sure they did it like that on
purpose. Knowledge.
What about the other day, and I won't say who the person is we're talking about.
Are we really building and destroying on the Juan Epstein podcast?
Peace.
Is that what's going on
the other day, Saif? Why did Saif just blatantly confuse a sincere with supreme?
I always do that.
He's like, yo, sincere. I mean supreme.
Talking to
you know what my favorite 5% story is? My man, Taboo, from Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
This is my man. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he's 5% or not, but he would kick 5% rhymes on the tour. When I was on tour with Black Eyed Peas in 04, we'd be in Canada in like Winnipeg in some big ass stadium. And they would have, you know, they would showcase. Fergie would sing and do cartwheels while she was singing.
Obviously.
Right? And then the app would dance. It will end with freestyle, and Tab would come and kick this extra hard body, God body rhyme every night.
Before Boom Boom Pow.
Right. Every night he would kick this rhyme, and I'd be like, yo, and it would be so...
intricate, like...
Yeah, but it would just be like to let you know, like, oh, really, I do this. But it was hilarious because it was still the Black Eyed Peas show.
But that is the essence, and I said this. You can make a case if you want that it gets no more genius... and no more evil than your man Will I Am.
Yeah, Will I Am is the truth, man.
But he uses his power for evil.
Well, no, he doesn't use his power for evil.
Those songs are some of them are unbearable.
Look, Will I Am is a consummate capitalist. If capitalism is evil to you, then yeah. Then yeah. If you believe in America way of life and believe in capitalism, then he should be your hero. You know what I'm saying? Because he makes his decisions based on what's good for my pocket. You know what I'm saying? And Will told me on that same tour, he was like, look, He said, when it comes to making music that people want to enjoy in the club, that's what I do. I'm good at. I try to think of the silliest, stupidest shit that I could think of. And one of those records
Success.
Was on. One of the records was on, and he pointed to it. He's like, see? That's some dumb shit I'm saying. But see how they responded to it?
Like, I think my humps was the low moment for
my
me.
My humps, I like that work. I like that record.
That shit was rocking.
I love that record.
See? If K-Fox says that, you know it's trouble.
No, it's true. But you don't go to the club.
No, listen.
We always make this argument because he doesn't like the Waka Flocka Flames, the Gucci's, but it's just pure club music.
It's a blanket statement. And I totally appreciate what makes will.i.am's work genius.
And he make great hip-hop records, too, on top of that. Like, he'll talk that shit, that corporate shit, and then he'll come and make a banging-ass hip-hop record better than a lot of these so-called underground artists. Anymore. You know what I'm saying? No, he hasn't, but he gave me a couple.
Yeah, he did.
Game a couple. He gave Nas a couple. This is not...
He sprinkles in some treats.
Yeah.
But there is no denying songs like you make a song like I Got a Feeling and you have a hit for 30 years. I mean, it's an epic hit. It's I Got a Feeling's epic.
When I realized that song was great, I went to my daughter's play and they did that song in a play. So when you see 200 elementary like kids in Brooklyn singing I Got a Feeling, it's like, wow, that's a great song.
No, that song's undeniable. I just hated the words to my humps. I'm sorry, lovely lady lumps. I know
you
like weird words
you.
Like that.
It's for ladies.
The second.
I didn't get to my humps words either.
The words, the beat, yeah.
What
I'm
is
fucking
it?
With
I drive
it.
These niggas crazy. I do it on the day. It's like simple.
No.
Dolce and Gabbana.
I like the verses.
It's horrible. It's bad.
Well, that's not what you do.
Three against one, fucker. We
Thank
like
you.
It.
You like the lyrics.
Yes.
It's not for you to.
Hold on. I want our one episode.
For my humps. My humps.
Say the statement in full. I, Cypher Sounds,
like the lyrics from my humps.
Thank you.
Now,
that's in the comment section.
You're going to be suspended for that.
You should be suspended. Someone call Ebro. What the fuck?
Cypher, listen. I have different hats I wear.
That's a my hump hat.
Right. That's a will.i.am hat.
Throw that hat in the fucking garbage.
So you don't do parties.
It's not about that. I appreciate playing the
party. But it is about that.
No, because I would say I would play my humps at a party. Well, I would play I Got a Feeling at a party.
Oh, no, I don't think.
What party would you play I Got a Feeling
at? No. I'm not listening.
At a bar mitzvah or a wedding.
Oh, please.
Okay. I'm not listening
at a bar mitzvah or a wedding.
At home.
I got to talk
like
to the DJs in the
party.
Room. Cypher Sounds.
Cypher Sounds.
My DJ in the room now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Above me.
Cypher Sounds like the lyrics for my humps for a party. Not
it's too late. Cypher, do you know how quotes work? Did you not learn anything from the last few weeks?
Yeah.
The first quote is
I was
gone.
Misquoted again.
He clarified it.
But the new Black Eyed Peas joint is where it's at.
Which
the
one
sample
is that?
For Dirty Dancing. Time of my
they move too quick for me.
Time of my life, yeah.
I still like.
No, it's huge.
The last one that went real fast.
It's huge.
Well,
it's moving too fast for me. I was still on the end. They at the beginning.
You were still at what?
The end was the last album. They got a new album out already.
Oh, called The Beginning?
Yeah.
They already jumped to a new one?
She already told you about the new single.
That's the new
You see? Went over your head.
And the Dirty Dancing sample?
Oh, it's
all right. So just take whatever song. Listen, just take whatever song was already a monstrous hit on its own.
The time of my life.
And that is the cheesiest fucking song.
But everybody's singing it at the same time. New Year's Eve, it was going down. It was crazy.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Because,
no, yes, it was. No, because you weren't there.
Because I murdered a set with actual non-losers dancing along to great fucking music. It is conceivable. You don't have to play horse shit at a party. You can, and it can be a movie.
You were at a house party
exactly.
with 10 people.
No, it was 200 people. It was rocking.
200 people in a house party?
Yeah, it was fucking rammed.
Where
it was
this house?
It was my boy D Solo's house. Dan Solomito.
Oh.
Why are you laughing?
Yeah, that's some underground shit, though.
No, it wasn't. It was a fairly commercial crowd.
Boy.
What are you laughing? Because literally, K-Fox, let me just say, let me be clear on one Epstein. There is not enough money on planet Earth.
That would make me wear the hoodie that you have on right now.
See, why do you always go there? to have me at what you did on fucking New Year's. There's not enough money.
I was at a Drake concert at the W Hotel.
There is not enough money.
Drake is your brethren. What are you talking
and
about?
And if you ever see me hanging out with him at a fucking on New Year's Eve in Miami,
poolside, what's wrong with that?
Gun in my mouth and kill me. Because that's not what I'm about.
All right.
Popping bottles
off.
And
knocking
doing,
niggas out.
That's what I'm about.
Okay, you stay on that.
No, I'm going to. You know why? Because I'm 31 fucking years old.
So you can't have a good time and be sexy?
No, I can have a great time, but my great time is at a nice house party with some people,
but
like-minded
my problem,
individuals.
Bali, you hear this?
Quiet.
I hear a little bit of folkism. Just a little fogey.
That's that
fogeyism. Thank you. Thank you.
My problem with Rosenberg. My problem with Rosenberg.
I'm down with
the
fogeyism sometimes. Though I like Miami too, though.
He thinks his way is the only way.
No.
He thinks his way is the only way. And I'm telling him, there's lots of different people like to party.
But you know what? His
way
is working for him.
Yes.
That's what it is.
But he thinks everything else is wrong. He thinks if you do something different, you're wrong.
No. No.
I have resentment.
Why are
you getting on me?
I have resentment. Well, no. You always just go out too far. You don't get it. Yes, I do. I'm saying it's not for me. You're like, you don't like any Gucci. No, I think Hard in the Paint is a crazy song.
That was Waka Flocka Flame. That wasn't Gucci.
Exactly. Are you going to catch me at a party where 90% of the songs sound like that? No. You would catch me at a party where that song plays and people get excited out of almost an ironic novelty-ish we enjoy it vibe, but not the, you need to run that shit back again.
Very East Coast elitist mentality.
Very.
Here, brother.
And I'm not leaving it.
No doubt.
I'm not leaving it. I'm not going to. Sife, I go on World Star Hip Hop. I see what's happening in the South. These naked bitches are fighting at gas stations. I'm not going down there. I'm staying here. I tried. I visit the South for a minute. I admit it. I'm an East Coast elitist. It's who I am. But you know what? At the end of the day, one day, I will be a happy man in my old age because I never started doing other shit I didn't want to do. And as Sypha Sounds trains me, I'm going to corner my lane of happiness.
That's the new way.
So I can stay in the place that makes me happy. For example, Sife, admit it. You can't fully take it anymore. You're kind of leaving DJing bullshit to pursue comedy, which is what you really enjoy.
Yeah.
Because you can't play shit all the time anymore. And there's a lot of shit out there.
To a point. But also because they're paying a lot less lately.
Even more importantly.
That's why.
I mean, you know, when I DJ, I'm blessed because, like I said, it's the celebrity factor. So I don't always... I've DJed in Vegas before where I've had to play... like the new whoever, you know, but the certain records I just won't play if I don't like it. Like, I can't play something I don't like.
You know something I never played? On My Mama, On My Hood, I Look Fly. I love that record.
I Look Good.
I love that record. I love that. Like, I'll play that. I'll play Hood Nigga by Gorilla Zoe. I'll play Ice Cream Paint Job. I'll go from Ice Cream Paint Job to Ice Cream by Raekwon. You know what I'm saying?
Like, expect that.
Yeah, you know. Like, I could play records I like.
Mr. C is here.
Speaking of people who...
DJs who,
in their curmudgeonly age, will play just whatever.
What age?
Just fucking whatever. C doesn't give a fuck anymore. C laughs in my face at the shit I like now. What is that, yellow? This guy.
Why is it Friday and he has a Monday C face?
Yeah, hold on. It's Friday, C.
Because I just came from a wake, man. Rest in peace to Pretty Rick from Gully Squad, Brooklyn. You know
no doubt.
Sorry, C. Sorry, I wouldn't have made jokes about Monday C.
Sorry.
All right. I can go now?
Yeah, sorry. Oh, thanks for bringing Juan Epstein down a few levels. Now we're gonna go back to the side. He got a hug from K Fox. That's at least a bonus. That out. No, don't. You can't edit that out. That was a classic Juan Epstein moment. Oh, Jesus.
You know what's funny? My boy was at that same funeral.
All right. Well, don't keep going with it now.
My boy's at the same funeral. I should have known he would have been there.
Well, you're an inconsiderate prick. I had no idea.
He had a Monday C face.
I know. He did have the Monday C on a Friday.
Awkward, guys.
All right, well, let's finish. Can we wrap up?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I want to wrap up the awkwardness. I want to finish the awkwardness all in one. Get it out, because, Quali, you ended up in the rare situation of in our entertainment gossip report on the show.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And I'm sorry. It was a bad news day. I was going through stuff. I was like, I don't... Really?
I didn't even bring it up.
You weren't here. She was gone. I was like, it's in the paper? I was like, we have to say it. So we read the thing that was from the paper.
What I did? I'll tell you what I did.
We break down what the story, break down what they said about you and break down the story.
All right, what they said was that I had an album release party and then I got into a fight with my wife at the album release party.
Right. That's what, the Daily News said that or the Post?
Post.
Okay.
Page 6.
God, you're a star. You're a star.
This is my second time at Page 6 in my life. This is great. Yay. Moving on up. What actually happened was, I had an album release party, and it ended, and everybody went home, and about 10 or so people stayed in the back, and we got drunk, and we got lively, and had a great time, and there was a lot of yelling, but there was no arguing over me doing anything that they said, none of that. It was just a lot of loudness, a lot of aggression, and this and that, and I ended up leaving the party early, which caused somebody to report that I got kicked out of the
your own party.
Out of your own party, this
right, with the party that had already ended.
But what was the aggression?
Why did they say this? And who snitched?
I have no idea. It was about.
I know.
At this point, everybody who you do tell me. Mm-hmm.
Your best friend, whoever the fuck that was.
Don't curse this Sorry. Part, you son of a bitch.
He did it. Whoever My he best is, friend? Whoever your best friend is that was there at that time,
snitch.
He did it.
Yeah.
Well, it's always.
Because I want to hear the story.
Okay. Sorry.
No, but I mean, that's basically what it was. There was conversation that was had that could be perceived as maybe an argument. And that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, loud black folk talk.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking maybe it came
from. Was there a movie playing?
No, there was no movie. Tyler Perry was not in the house anywhere around. But yeah, I left the party of people I was with early. And so I think that there was assumed that there was some sort of
altercation.
Yeah.
Where was this?
At used to be Nell's. I forget what it's called now.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what spot you're talking about.
Did you have an album release party that early?
I did. It was an album release. It was a listening party.
Listening.
It was an album listening party for Gutter Rainbows, out digital only in North America on the 25th of this month.
You're going digital only with this album?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Good question. Retailers based, stocking your album based on your last album sales. Warner Brothers did a very shitty job with Reflection Eternal and letting my fan base know that that album's even out. They didn't even put my name on the album cover. Mm. So you wouldn't even know where to buy the album.
It didn't say Talib Kweli and...
It said Reflection Eternal.
That's it.
Which was it's not something... I emailed them and talked to them extensively about making sure. It was a huge drop of the ball. Huge.
Right, because you still want Reflection Eternal to do well, but...
You need your name on it.
Well, I mean,
your name's bigger now.
And the fact of the matter is, y'all know because y'all was around at the beginning of all that, but the fact is when you do this retail game... Reflection Eternal has never sold an album ever. Mm. The name Reflection Eternal is not in the record stores. That album was Talib Kweli and High Tech are Reflection Eternal.
The first one.
So the actual name of the artist is Talib Kweli and High Tech.
Right.
10 years later, you want to capitalize on that by selling it as Talib Kweli and High Tech.
Makes sense.
This is something that they dropped the ball on. So that along with just, you know.
Did they ever really have the ball?
No, they never really get. No one even passed them the ball to have. So, Gutter Rainbows is something I created in my house. It's going to be a smaller release. It's not something that's going to have a large marketing dollars behind it, whatever. So, when the retailers for my next album, which is coming out on Blacksmith EMI called Prisoner Conscious this spring or this summer, when they go to put that in stores, I want them to not look at Gutter Rainbows or not look at Reflection Eternal. I want them to look at Eardrum, which is the last official album I dropped in the stores, which has sold hundreds of thousands of copies. Mm.
Eardrum sold that much, huh?
It's at about 300 now.
Eardrum was a good album.
Yeah. So it's all business. There's people who, you know, curse me out online for not a digital CD release. Like, oh, I can't believe you would do that. You're dissing the fans. How could you not do a content? I'm willing to bet none of those people cursing me out bought the Reflection Eternal album.
No, they probably downloaded them.
And you know, I done put out this year alone 3 free mixtapes. You know, Liberation was free. You know, I'm on my 8th studio album, 9th studio album. So it's a little disheartening when people take a business decision that I made to get more music out there in the future as to heart. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's the nature of the beast.
They just don't understand. You're on that Prince level because Prince is doing the same thing.
Yeah. What, Prince
digitally? Just releasing his music digitally.
Yeah, we need control. We need control. And the CD, I'm sorry to say, the CD is a dead format. You're not gonna find CDs in 2 years. Why would I want to invest in that?
It does feel that way.
You're not. Vinyl. The reason vinyl is still alive because vinyl still sounds good, and vinyl is the
like
DJing is an instrument. Yeah. Vinyl's become like an instrument part of the culture. So Serato and the need to have a Serato vinyl and the need to collect vinyl is gonna be around forever. CDs, it's a flawed technology. It's gonna
And most people, and in fact, you do find collectors who love their CD collection, but people don't treat their CDs the way they do their.
Nah, some people do.
I do.
You love your CDs like that?
Some people have artists they like. They'll download a song, then they'll go buy the CD and put the CD in the case, and that's good for that group of people. But that's not enough to continue the whole.
But I like CDs.
It ruined. It sucks because I never cared about my CD collection, and as a result. I couldn't tell you where any CDs are. Like, they're just...
I got messed.
The only thing that matters is vinyl. You must have... If I'd been keeping my CDs, especially now the last 5 years, I just ripped them in.
Oh, fucking...
But Syfe is a collector. He's organized like that.
Yeah, I know. I could only handle vinyl. I can't handle CDs, too. How many CDs do you have?
I don't know. I'm in the process of trying to organize it now.
Like, you deal with vinyl and CDs?
I'm doing the vinyl first. Oh. But then I'm going to get to the CDs. But I like CDs.
You like stuff.
I like stuff.
That's what's gonna be gone. Stuff.
Stuff is on the
right. But book, I like. See, that's the thing
with
me.
This
book
called "What Would Google Do?" And they talk about stuff.
The thing
and how
with
the
me
business
is like,
model, like you can't have stuff no more.
Why?
Because
I like stuff.
I know you like stuff. That's why you collect it. That's why you a DJ. That's why you're going to be a renaissance man. But in order to run a good business, you can't have stuff. Amazon is the biggest business in the world because they have no stuff.
Yeah.
All they got is the Kindle. That's it.
Yeah.
They just make the Kindle. I just watched this movie last night, Middlemen, about how they started. The guy who came up with the program so that you could give your credit card to the internet. Really, they just want to jerk off all day. So I saw that. Yeah, so they came up with a system so that you could pay them for porn and this and that.
Yeah.
And that system they came up with is what Amazon, everybody uses.
I saw that.
But it's the new business model is not having no stuff, no paper, no nothing.
Yeah.
All you're doing is a service that doesn't involve you doing any stuff.
Yep.
But no physical content in North America for Gutter Rainbows. If you really want it, you could order online the import, or Fat Beats was selling limited edition vinyl.
So why do an import then? Why not make it international?
Because my deal with EMI deals with the North American territories.
Gotcha.
So to respect my deal with Blacksmith EMI, I'm not putting out Gutter Rainbows physically so that they have a chance to, when I put out Prisoner Conscious, get their retail popping.
Gotcha. But people can get an import if they really...
Yeah, if they
the
want to pay the $18.
We'll top spot spend that $18 and get the import.
Classic. And Prisoner Conscious is the name of your next...
Yes, and that'll
physical
be...
Physical album.
That'll be a full-blown release, pulling all the stops.
Who's on? You got any features on the Gutter Rainbows?
On Gutter Rainbows is, feature-wise, Chase Infinite from Self Scientific, one of my favorite MCs. Gene Gray, one of my favorite MCs.
Obviously.
Nigel Hall, a singer out here from New York, Kendra Roy, she's a singer as well. And my man Out of Sight is on the record.
I love Out of Sight.
Out of Sight is a great artist.
What'd you say?
Who's that?
He's Daytona's boy. He's down with the LRG movement as well. He's like...
He signed to Warner now.
He has a deal. He has his new tune that he dropped this past week. Premiered it last week on Real Late. And
good for you.
Having.
Good for you.
He's good. And he has a weird lane. I was talking yesterday with the LRG dude about... I know, thank you. That's okay. You can laugh. And sarcasm's constant. He has a weird lane out of sight. It's hard to like... He's his own... He's really his own artist.
Like kids who are into the blogs and into who's cracking the internet are into Out of Sight. There's a lot of college kids are into Out of Sight. They know about him. Like, on my Twitter feed.
Every time you say Out of Sight, like the Jennifer Lopez, George Clooney movie pops into my head.
Remember her ass shot in that movie?
I seen him perform at SOB's last year.
Mm-hmm.
He did really well. With your event. Yeah.
He did do really well. He's a good dude, good artist.
You still got those?
I saw Jean Grey recently. When's her album coming out?
Jean Grey's album, Cake or Death, is on Blacksmith EMI. We just got a brand new deal for that album. It's been in limbo a little bit. I'm looking at spring, summer. I'm excited about Strong Arm Steady. Album is in February 1st. DJ Khalil, Madlib, Terrence Martin, Jelly Roll, the producers on it. Myself, Corrupt, Too Short, KRS-One, Planet Asia, Marsha Ambrosius are the features. This is a really... People have been sleeping on Strong Arm for a long time, but they won't anymore now that Arms and Hammers is coming out.
Do you think it's their best work?
It's definitely their best work, and it's definitely the best hip hop album to come out of the West Coast in years, in my opinion.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go ahead and say since The Chronic.
Why are you excited about Gene's album?
I'm very excited.
Are you nervous? Because Gene never comes out. This is like an endless conversation.
Yeah. Well, no, Gene has a good three or four really good albums that she put out with, I guess, Nature Sounds or whoever she was with before on her own. That I don't know how commercially they did, but creatively they're great albums.
Right. We've been waiting for kind of her big. She's that good. I mean, She's one of the great female MCs of all. I mean, she's a great MC, period.
What used to be?
What? And then it was, see, she's going to get mad at me if I start going down the line.
No, just go what? Because
that
was out. I used to want to give her the Sheboygan back in the day.
What? I remember the first time I saw Gene. Gene is.
You used to want to give her the Sheboygan?
Yeah, I wanted to give her the Sheboygan. I thought she was hot. And I wanted to.
Gene is also one of the coolest women I've ever met in my entire life. Like, everyone who I was with at South by Southwest last year, my brother, my girl, all of us fell in love with. I already like knew her a little bit, but my brother and my girl were just like in a trance. And my buddy Mark.
That's if you keep it real with Gene. Because if you come at Gene sideways.
I always have.
Or you always come at her sideways?
No, I've always kept it real.
No, right. If you come at her sideways, or come at her with like some silly shit, she gonna take your head off.
Oh, no,
like
no.
Most black women.
No, but she has a... My brother described it well the other day. We were having another random conversation. My brother goes, Jean Grey is so great. I was like, yeah, she's pretty awesome. No, I was showing off. I said, one of the coolest things about my life, I think, is that the last few parties I've had, I've invited Jean out, and she's come out by herself. She's just come out to kick it. I'm like, that makes me feel like the coolest person on earth because I think Jean's so fucking cool.
That is
pretty cool. And he's like, yo, Jean Grey. He was like, she's like this modern rapper with like a slice of Janis Joplin soul in her.
That's a perfect like, perfect way to describe her. You know, she's like Janis Joplin meets Tina Fey, man. Like, when you listen to her talk and listen to Tina Fey talk, and when I was watching 30 Rock last night, I was like, that's Jean Grey.
I know exactly what you're saying. Oh, she's a special. You guys got some special people over there.
We do. Blacksmith is, you know, it's been a struggle because I don't know how to run a label. You know, it's something that's trial by error and trial by fire. And what I do know how to do is have a business model that works. That people are still talking about Strong Arm Steady, still talking about Jean Grey. So I'm excited about this year because we finally got in a position where we're actually going to put out the music to justify what I've been saying.
How's Corey Smith doing?
He's good. Corey's blessed.
Do you guys get in loud fights?
Yeah.
Regularly?
No. Maybe 2 or 3 times a year.
That's not too bad.
Needed for the catharsis.
How good of a friend is Corey Smith to you?
One of my best friends in the world.
Before, was he always? Or did you meet
him? Yeah, I mean, Corey Smith is my manager officially, but it's not like we have ever signed a contract.
Right.
You know, it's
wow, really?
Like, yeah, we don't have no paperwork.
Yeah, you could tell that.
Yeah.
And but do you have a set percentage on stuff?
Yeah, he gets a percent. He gets his percentage, yeah, and set. Then.
But you don't. There's no need for paper.
No need for that. And so.
Well, I know Corey. There's no need for paper.
Now, Corey's a good dude, man. It's like, you know, Corey was one of those people who are in my career. I could not have done my career without him because he stepped in at a very crucial time to show me a lot of things. I've learned a lot from Corey. And now I'm in a position to even do some teaching myself because I've grown up in this and I've gone out and made my own path. So there's things that I could bring to what Corey Smith is doing based on what he taught me so that now we can make Blacksmith better together.
Corey's an old dude.
We just had Melky Jean up here and she mentioned that you were featured on the charity album. That
I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm trying to get to Haiti this year. Mm-hmm. And I was going to holler at you and try to holler at Melky.
She's in town.
About
she's
trying here. To like do a trip because they've been trying to get me to sign the paperwork for the song, which I haven't done because I haven't got to a fax machine. But it's bug about that because KRS came over my house in L.A. years ago and told me about this project that him and Melky were working on. Well, he was doing a song for it, I guess. And just his passion for it made me get involved in it. And just I saw what they were doing with that program years before this earthquake. And it's just amazing just to see that. Like sometimes people look at what they're doing as like they were trying to capitalize on it, whatever. But I know for a fact that they were at my house a good 2 years before.
No, she was telling us that way earlier they were working on this project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to start my process of giving back to the world in general. This isn't just about Haiti, but in general, just giving back. And I'm starting, actually, Super Bowl weekend. Me and my girl are going to go down to Puerto Rico. Going to the Marriott. And I really just want to get in touch with the sand and the water. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And get my hands dirty, literally in the sand of the earth.
Right.
Get my mind clear.
Yeah.
Sip on a drink, perhaps. Smoke a little. Something. Watch the Super Bowl.
Go to Club Laser.
Reefers. Okay. Smoke some reefers.
Are you going to go to Club Laser?
Does that involve leaving the resort?
I'll go to El Junque.
Hold on. We have to. Hopefully this isn't. Let's see what this is about, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. Entering the Juan Epstein podcast with no warning whatsoever, we not only have Talib Kweli on my speakerphone, ladies and gentlemen, DJ Premier.
What up, Primo?
Wow, I'm like, what kind of voice message is that?
Hey, yo, Primo. Hey, yo, what you don't know is that I'm doing Premier's show tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right, Primo? What's up? We getting up tonight?
Oh, shit. What's going on, Kweli? Fucking me up right now. I hope I'm not messing up my cursing.
No.
Let me say something.
Pass the phone.
Yo, Premier.
Yeah.
Yo, you know how long I've been asking Angie Martinez for that J. Rue over the 10 crack commandments, and then you fucking play it on your show, and I was like, why didn't I just ask Premier?
Because some people are dumb out and just stupid, and obviously you did the same thing.
Obviously.
I need to come get a version from you without the fucking talking on it.
That's why I talked on it so nobody
would. Yo, do you want me to
and shout to Kweli too, man. Yeah, he's gonna be a guest on my show tonight. And that's my twin brother anyway.
No doubt.
Yo, I'll give you a call when we're done with this podcast.
Okay, see what he wanted.
Real quick, my question was, your show that's running off Sunday, is it already pre-recorded already?
No, I haven't recorded yet for this week. You got some shit for me?
Yeah, and I wanted to, you know, announce that Nick Javis' video is going to be playing on MTV starting on the 19th, so I wanted to, you know, try to capitalize on letting it be known prior to that.
But boom.
I'll let you and Quali finish. All right. And you know, if you
want to
give me a call after you're done.
Boom. I'll hit you when I'm done. And you can also, if you want, just send me an email with everything you want me to say. I got you.
All right, cool.
All right, peace. What a great podcast we have. Who else has that happen?
Premiere.
That shit was crazy.
Premiere.
Deep concentration.
He's got some.
They know about deep concentration on the Warren Epstein?
I think so.
Wait, what piano?
Doom, doom.
Subway sandwich. Yes, I'm serious. We have to interview Cory Booker after this, the mayor of Newark.
Newark.
A lot going on today.
Newark. N-O-R-K, Newark.
Y'all follow Cory Booker on Twitter?
No. Should I?
What's his Twitter?
Cory Booker.
Because he tweets.
Cory Booker tweets like he's a rapper on a come up.
No, he doesn't.
And ask him about that when y'all interview. Say, Talib Kweli said.
Thank you.
Look, Jules. He tweets like Cory Booker, like someone will be like, Cory, you know, I'm stuck in the snow. And he'd be like, hey, what's up? I'm on my way to see you. You know what I'm saying? We coming through. You know what I'm saying? He'll be on Twitter like, yo, I'm right now, I'm jogging.
I'm reading right now.
What's he talking about?
Yo, okay, everything he has. For example, someone said, my mom lives right around the corner from you on Voorhees Street. They need to come down and plow these streets. He replies, on it.
On it. Because I'm the motherfucking man.
Cory Booker, he retweeted... Someone saying, Brick City serves is proud to make MLK holiday, blah, blah, blah. I just love that he's mentioning Brick City.
Oh, my favorite Cory Booker tweet is when he tweeted Snooki about the taxes on the tanning salons. What's up, Snooki?
That he's an interesting dude.
He is.
A lot of people expected that he could have been the first black president. That concept was out there like 10 years ago.
What's your man, Joel Stein from Time Magazine, writes the stories on the back? He did an article about doing a reality show and trying to get a reality show on Cory Booker pitched to A&E because he looked at the Sarah Palin show. He's like, oh, I could do. And he's like, you know, A&E or who does all them shows with the cake bosses and all that? That's A&E?
Is it Bravo?
Bravo does some.
Sarah Palin show.
I think that's TLC.
She's TLC.
TLC. He was like, we're not interested in like the black man from Newark.
Mm.
And Sarah Palin's show is
all she
about
does
nothing.
Is shoot animals with guns.
All she does is like, it's just her.
I want to see Cory Booker shoveling snow.
Yeah, like that would be some real. That would be something really real.
Hanging out with Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg just gave him how much money for?
$100 million.
$100 million for Newark schools.
Very, very cool. Yeah, we're gonna talk to him about that. I'm excited to meet this guy. I saw him once at a charity softball game where my team was being coached by Queen Latifah. It's a long, interesting story. Being in Newark, period. But I had something else about Cory Booker I was gonna say, but I can't remember. But he's definitely a. Super interesting dude. Do you know him at all?
No, I met him once years ago, maybe.
He has over 1 million followers.
Yeah, his press lady was telling me that before.
Damn, I remember when he first started. He came up. Good for him. I mean, I don't remember when he first started his political career.
No, he's a smart dude, man. I like to see him on Bill Maher.
Talking
religion is a good thing.
Yeah, it should
be.
Are
you religious?
He's a Christian. Am I religious?
Yeah.
No, I don't subscribe to any religion.
Well, you got kids, though, right?
Yeah, I got two kids.
What do you tell your kids? Or how do you...
Well, you know, just because I don't subscribe to religion don't mean they mom don't. You know what I'm saying? But
do
I mean...
they celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, we celebrate. I celebrate
Hold on,
Christmas.
Grab my sandwich. I'll be right back.
Yeah,
continue on.
Get your sandwich.
And
go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I celebrate, you know, Christmas. The family, I get the Christmas tree and the family come over. They come over my crib. I'm not any religion, but I'm very, very spiritual. I have a very close relationship with the God inside of me. And I celebrate that. And I try to give my kids that, you know, and you know, I treat religion just like anything in the world, music, anything, whatever. I try to provide everything for them, let them figure out the truth. The truth always going to shine through.
Yeah, that's my thing. I don't want to lie to my kids.
Yeah, I don't, you know, my kids don't believe in Santa Claus or Easter Bunny and nothing like that.
Yeah.
Never have.
I don't want to lie.
You know, daddy goes out and buys presents. That's how it go.
Yeah, my theory is,
and if you're not good, you're not getting no presents.
You lie to your kids, and then you teach them how to lie, and then they lie to you.
That's right. My man Juju gave his son a box wrapped up of coal for Christmas.
No, he didn't. No,
that's
he didn't.
Just mean.
I saw the video footage. He taped it like, watch this, watch this.
And what did was little
said,
boy,
why
little
that?
Girl?
He said he was bad. I told him.
A little boy. And what did he say when he opened the box?
Oh, the little boy got up and stormed out the room.
How old is he?
He was like, no, the little boy's opening the box. He wanted an Xbox. He'd open it like, oh, I know what this is. I know what this is. And he opens the box of coal. He's like.
He walks out.
Come out the room.
What a cruel joke.
Right. That's they showed him his real gifts later, but
that's some shit I would do, yo. I'm dying to do that now. That's funny.
Box of coal. Oh my god.
What was it, like charcoal? Like barbecue?
Yeah, it was like in a box. Barbie's, that's exactly what it was.
The only step further would have been an actual piece of shit.
Right.
That's probably
right. That's in a stocking hanging over the mantle.
Reach your stocking. What do you? There's shit on my hands. That exactly. You get shit. That's gonna be you and your kids on Christmas. It's a touching story.
What?
It's gonna be you with your children.
Shut up.
What, you're fading on us? By the way, guys, Sife's not sleeping last night. Just kicked in. He just went from alive to nearly dead.
Y'all seen his book by Jim Brewer? That he put out.
The comedian.
Yeah, and that made me think of Cypher Sounds immediately.
Why?
Because the name of the book is...
My Weight Problem.
No. Posto. Name of the book is, I'm Not High, I Just Look That Way.
Yo, word up. Perfect. I always talk to Jim Brewer about that.
Right, that's the name of his book.
Everybody always thinks you're high.
Everybody thinks I'm high all the time. Right. I've always had sleepy eyes. It's just when you get into your teenage years, they go, oh, he's smoking doobies.
I mean, all the time. People always want me to go, yo, man, I know he's high. I'm like,
right, he looking like Montel Williams and whatnot.
And I'm very low key and monotone until I start DJing, when I start yelling and screaming. Mm-hmm. So, like, people look at me like, look at this.
Now, that's when we was on Ruckus, I thought you was lying until I got to know you. What? So now I'm going to be high.
You thought I was lying about smoking weed?
I think everyone thinks that.
Yeah, I just assumed, because when you was at Ruckus, that was like the height of the weed. Everybody was smoking weed. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, this dude just looks high all the time. And then he was like, nah, I don't smoke. I don't drink. You still don't drink?
Mm-mm.
See?
Someone was like, I saw you, man, Cypher Sounds in Miami. Twisted.
Twisted.
Like, no, you didn't.
Son couldn't even walk.
I was like, yeah, I promise you didn't.
Tired, that's it. Tired, maybe.
I mean, maybe acting like, you know, he could have had. He could
but
have been
lately, I've been on some shit. Lately, I've been on some holding the Diet Coke or cranberry juice just to look like I have a drink so people don't keep offering me drinks.
Yo, that's what my friend just told me last night, who's on a fast. She's like, yeah. I was like, would people, you be at these events, and people be like, yo. She's like, I just got to get a drink that looks like a drink.
Yeah.
And people leave me alone.
I didn't drink for the first 25 years of my life. And I basically only drink now in a very limited capacity to keep people to fucking leave me alone.
Right.
Like I nurse a beer the whole night and a minute shift. But I'll nurse a Corona for fucking 3 hours.
I didn't drink seriously until I started rapping for a living. I had to.
Now you seriously drink.
I drank 40s in high school just to be cool until I threw up on a command bus one day going home.
What's the command bus?
The command bus to want to go from the city to the yeah, like,
not a city bus. It's like a private coach.
Pay $3 to take you to.
It's like a nicer seat.
Take you to a place in Brooklyn, Queens, and the train don't go all the way.
Yeah, kind of like express.
Yeah.
You, man. You know what a command bus is.
No, I don't.
You ever just go like outside and you see people like you at a regular bus stop, they're all bunched together. But at a command stop, they're lined up.
Right.
You ever see like bus stops where people are like lined up?
So it's basically like a charter bus, but for in the city area.
Right. Yeah.
That's what they call them, tap-tap buses in Haiti.
Tap-tap.
Tap-tap. Remember the restaurant in Miami is called Tap-Tap, the Haitian restaurant. Tap-Tap. Sorry, guys. It was bugging me.
You've been thinking about that for 30 minutes, huh?
Yeah, rewind, guys.
Right.
And
tap,
know what
tap.
The fuck she's talking about.
Got that bus.
You guys were talking about buses.
What show would you be on, Kwali? Like me personally, I probably will be on Hoarders one day.
That type of show?
Yeah, what like type of like problem show would you be on? Or like weird niche show, like gambling or?
I don't know.
I'm going for Biggest Loser myself.
You want to be on Biggest Loser?
I don't want to, but if I had anything that would ever happen, Biggest Loser.
I don't know. I don't show them.
Like, what's like your... You got any problems
or phobias
or anything?
I don't think that would happen to me.
Addictions?
Yeah, I got plenty of addictions.
So that'd be rehab?
But I don't know if I would be on a TV show talking about them.
No, but not actually be on it. I'm just saying what show would fit your character?
Bonnie and Women.
Family Feud.
Good answer. We could all do that one, though. Yo, when was the last time you talked to your boy, Kanye Tutta?
A couple weeks ago.
Yo, him and Mos put me on to Kanye.
Is this when Kanye was begging to rap?
And everyone was Before that.
Just beats.
Just beats.
No, I was with Kanye
just beats
around Christmas time.
Is he the same dude?
No, but I was... To see how he can be. I mean, he's the same dude in terms of he has the same energy and passions, and you know, he's the same guy, but he's now Kanye West.
Does he show you the same love when he sees you?
Oh, without a doubt.
Same as before, without, when he was a fan.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Because if he started acting funny with you, that would
be fucked up. Ever acted funny with you, it's over. Then Kanye lost his mind.
Yeah.
Now, Kanye has been, what I like to say, what people don't realize about Kanye, there's a segment of our community and people who might even be my fans who spend a lot of time either saying Kanye's an Illuminati or even if they don't think he's an Illuminati, just straight dissing him. I don't like his clothes. I don't like what he did to Taylor Swift.
I don't like his clothes. I agree with them on clothes.
Right. You like Andre 3000?
I think Andre 3000's shit is more sincere.
Make your face. Andre 3000.
So you think the wigs and the dresses and the skirts is more sincere than Kanye's red suit?
The red suit wasn't even the worst part. It's the scoop necks. I can't deal with the scoop.
What?
The scoop necks. I can't.
Oh, did they come down here?
I love Ye. Listen,
like extra
deep V.
Chest cleavage.
It's not even a V, it's a W.
It's an extra deep.
Listen, here's what I realized.
Hamburger meat.
It's
on
V
his chest.
like.
Here's what I realized about Ye. He is, to me, one of the greatest artists of ever. I mean, he's a genius.
That's right.
My love of the other shit that he does, meh, but I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I mean, he's one of my favorite rapper producers ever.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me sometimes with Ye is that that's everybody can have their opinion about you what you want, but when you look at what the man is actually doing, like when you look at the music that he's making, the tracks he's selecting, the RZA tracks, the Pete Rocks, the Q-Tips. When you look at the free music on Good Fridays, with the caliber of artists that he's putting out Good Fridays with, from whether it's a side of Prince or Me and Consequence or Common and Most Def or Nicki Minaj and Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? When you look at what he's giving to the game, and then you look at him making sure that Common has a situation, making sure that Most Def has a lane, making sure he throws Lupe Fiasco on Touch the Sky.
I heard that Nas might even sign with Good Music.
That would be great too, but he's done records with Nas. Like he's, you know what I'm saying? Like what people don't like about Kanye when they juxtapose that to what he's added to hip hop culture.
Pusha T.
Pusha T's putting him on a level of the Jay-Z level. For when you look at what he's doing for the culture, it's like, how can you deny that this man, like, look, people look at Lupe as like the thinking man's Kanye. Lupe won't do no extra embarrassing wear the deep V's, but the same kids who hate Kanye, they often big up Lupe. But who's the one who gave Lupe the first real shot to be even on a mainstream?
Kanye. And any one of you people who think that way don't know shit and don't know anything about Lupe. No disrespect. That's not who Lupe is. I mean,
right.
Lupe's my dude. I like Lupe now a lot. But
like
that's not who he is, though. Like, he never planned to be a conscious rapper. That was not in his...
Lupe is a serious artist.
He's just
an
artist.
And because of his seriousness, he's taken as conscious. And Lupe raps, whether he wants to be seen as like, I deal with that too. Lupe raps about what's going on with the people.
But do you know that that's funny? Lupe's whole confusion about who he is started with me. Him and I got into it because... Sorry, it all comes back to me.
I like that sentence, right?
This it dude, all comes bro. Back. Let me talk about me. 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 No, but I tweeted or whatever it was. I went out there and blogged. I was like, fucking Lupe doesn't know the words to Tribe. And it led to this whole shit back and forth.
That was your fault?
That was my fault. And then everyone goes, what's wrong with you? You don't fucking know Tribe? And then when I saw him and we eventually worked it out, he was like, dog, all I listened to was gangster rap. I was not. You may think because of the role I play now.
Like Spice One or
something. Spice One.
That was the one he said was his favorite.
UGK.
Yeah.
He wasn't about that. But because of the lane people have put him in, he's like, you assume that I'm the next, that I'm like Mos and Quali.
Yeah.
But I'm not really. That's just kind of.
No, he is.
I mean, musically, but that's not the person that he grew up as.
He just, and I knew that from having a kind of like Blue from LA. Brought him on my crib. I had a conversation with him, and he was asking me about some lyrical references and some 5% stuff and some stuff that I just assumed if you rap, you know this stuff. Yeah. But I'm like, nah, he just a hip-hop dude. He not coming from the same Africanized or the same nationalistic vibe that I came from growing up in New York in the East Coast in the 90s. He's not coming from that. You know what I'm saying? So even though he's still dope, J. Cole the same way. J. Cole rhyming about getting chicks. But like people associate him with me because of his music choices and style. But he not rapping on on a conscious shit, he rapping on some.
But what the fuck is conscious? Like, what does that mean nowadays? Like, do you rap conscious shit? Not really. No
I mean,
more.
I wear.
Like,
I being called a conscious artist or a progressive artist is a badge of honor because it means that you affect people more than oh, yeah, I like your song. You know what I'm saying? So I get that, but I can't allow that to define who I am, and that's not the only output that I have. You know what I'm saying? So I wear it, and I honor it, and I'm proud of it, but I make very sure to do other things and just make statements to let people know, look, that's not how I expect to be pigeonholed.
But I think it does mean, though, if you're labeled as conscious, I think people OD on it, but it does mean you're not going to go out there and say some shit that is just like absolutely just reckless. No, yeah, reckless.
Right, I do
not
feel
caring
like
about the community for the sake of making a fly rhyme.
That's like, right.
Or trying to sound cool.
Oh, that's exactly it.
That's why, you know. But then
that's not even the definition of an artist, because the definition of artist is not to give a fuck. Like, an artist got to be honest no matter what the community think. So as an artist, my job is just be honest in my craft. So it's very conflicting to celebrate being an artist but then have all this baggage, which is why I appreciate artists like Kanye West and artists who come out and who are able, they've allowed, seeing Kanye West or even far back in Slum Village, when people were looking at them conscious, but all they rhymes was about menage a trois.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and jewels.
And, right, it allowed me to step out of my zone and be like, okay, I could be more of a human being in this music.
Truly, it is an interesting.
So it's like the sound, like J Dilla, the sound of his music.
Right, J Dilla rapped about his chain, his Range Rover, getting head,
strippers,
and strippers. That's what his lyrical content was. Right. And then he would throw in like about how my beats is dope too. You know, I'm bumping my fly beat and my new Range Rover as I got two chicks in the back.
Even Drake has that line about getting a chain. What does he say about getting his chain for Dilla?
I fucking love that line.
That's a great rhyme.
That rhyme is dope.
And it's crazy because he's paying homage to the underground dude, but saying it by buying a chain.
Yeah. Right. And then the ill irony is that some people took that as blasphemy. Oh, why would you even not realize that Dilla was rapping about chains? That's what Dilla was rapping about most of the time. He just was good at it. He was so good at rapping about chains, and his music felt so good that you felt like it's feel good shit. Even though it's narcissistic.
Yeah, that Drake line is one of the dopest lines ever. Like, when he compared, like, you could tell he's one of us. He's an underground.
And it's funny
because
you're not even a Dilla head, but you appreciate the sentiment. Yeah, so it's like, oh, word? You just slipped that in? No, Drake has done a lot of shit like that.
And
over
that's
time.
Over like a very.
Yeah, the people
song,
who diss Drake, you know, they never heard that. They never heard him shout out Slum Village, Lil Brother. They never heard the mixtape, the So Far Gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're associated with Drake is, oh, there's a new Young Money artist. Oh, he's on a record with Lil Wayne. I don't like the hook. Oh, they're talking about champagne. Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, looking at him as
a complete picture.
But Wayne is a fucking ill hip-hop head, too.
Yeah,
I remember when Wayne met Cardi. Cardinal Official. Went crazy.
Yo, when I met Lil Wayne.
Quoted rhymes from like 12 inches.
You met Wayne before?
I met Wayne a few times. When I first met Wayne, it was in Atlanta at the Ritz-Carlton. It was one of those How Can I Be Downs or something.
Atlanta?
How Can I Be Shot?
Atlanta? Something like that. It was one of them of music industry after Freaknik.
Was I the only person who knew the joke of calling How Can I Be Down, How Can I Be Shot?
No, I heard
it. It was out there, right?
Yeah.
Every time I say it, people look at me like I'm like, nuts.
When I first met Wayne, he quoted lyrics to me. When I first met Rick Ross, he quoted my lyrics to me. When I first met Wayne, he had dreads like this. The little kid. And to me, he was just Lil Wayne from Cash Money. Like, I liked the songs, but.
What song did he know? Do you remember?
I forget. Rick Ross knew Respiration.
What?
But Lil Wayne, I forget what he knew, but he was like, "Yo, I like when you said." He made it a point to speak to me this is Raucous Days.
Wow! Oh, he's been around that long.
Yeah.
Hell yeah! You had to be a fan the way he rhymes.
I mean, no, I know he's ahead. I know he's a really.
And you know, I'm putting out a Southern Smoke mixtape with DJ Smalls. People don't know that the reason Hello Brooklyn is called 2.0 is because when Jay-Z heard it was originally me and Mos on it.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I heard that.
And Jay liked it so much, he's like, I need that for my album. So he bought it. That's why it's called Hello Brooklyn 2.0. I don't know who did it.
My boy Big D out of Miami did it.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, yeah,
But I'm putting out the original version with DJ Smalls on my mixtape, Southern Smoke. It's me and a bunch of rappers that you are going to get mad that I'm rapping with.
No, I won't.
Well, what?
I will.
Who?
Why?
Let's see who's on it. Pill.
No, my man.
Young Dro.
Oh, they're on the mixtape.
Yo, Young Dro is dope.
Young Dro is dope. Nappy Roots.
Yo, Young Joe could be a New York rapper.
Young Joe's favorite rapper is Ghostface. He like a,
yo,
you know what I'm
there's
saying?
A song. You'll never listen to it, Rosenberg. You'll never listen to it.
Maybe I will.
If you ever ran across, you're on a desert island and you had to happen
we
to
got
have a Young Joe.
Big Crit Currency.
You got some good people on there.
That's dope. It's dope. I'm just trying to think who else is on this shit.
Wait, this you're Presidential.
What is it?
Young Joe Presidential.
Dope song? Wait. Young Joe's which one? Who brought out Young Joe again?
T.I. The Shoulder Lean.
Shoulder Lean is a good record.
Shoulder Lean.
And he wears a lot of golf wear.
I like Young Dro.
Yeah, Young Dro. He can rap.
Well, he was arbitrarily.
He's going to play golf.
Polo. He's polo.
He's a polo head. Yeah. He was arbitrarily at my girl's birthday. When
of course.
We were
of course.
No, of course. When we were at SOB's on my girl's birthday, it was like someone else, B.O.B. And then he showed up.
I remember you telling me.
And he was a really cool guy. So I'm down.
He can rap.
Wait, but you're putting out the Hello Brooklyn original with you and Mos?
No, with me and Wayne.
Oh, dope.
I'm confused.
I don't have Mos' verse. I don't know where that's at. I got my verse. I got Wayne's verse.
Wayne's verse from Jay. From that.
Yeah, I think it's a different take of the same verse.
So he's not going, Hello Brooklyn. How you
doing? But he's doing that. He's doing it at the end of the song. Like the version I have is him doing it at the end of the song trying to figure out how he's going to do it. So it's like him sort of scatting and playing with it.
There's a mouse? Where? I won't stand for investigation.
I think the engineer's doing something to the backup computer. I see it moving. I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
He said, you see a mouse?
Yo,
real New York station here going.
Real.
I'm going to say something, man. I'm pissed off at two people.
Who?
Mos Def and Dave Chappelle. Yo. Holla at your boy. Both of y'all motherfuckers don't holla at your boy.
You reach out to them?
Yes.
Mos too?
Well, the only way to reach out to Mos is to look out your window once in a while and go,
Mos!
Dante!
Is there a Mos signal, like a bat signal?
I don't have it.
You can holler at Mos. He's doing a play, Free Man of Color, with Jeffrey Wright at Lincoln Center. You can go to Lincoln Center.
Send it
right now, every night. Every night.
Really? I want to go see that.
You go to Lincoln Center tonight and sit in the front row and do like this. While he's acting with Jeffrey Wright, yeah.
Can you get me tickets? Help me get tickets for that? Can you figure out who
you
I can
probably go
to
the box office.
Yeah, we
just
get
it.
No, I'm not going to pay for that. I was Mos' DJ.
I was Mos' DJ. How much did he pay you?
He paid.
It's two shows on.
He paid
Saturdays.
Well, right?
Mos paid the best.
I want to go Saturday night.
Mos does pay good. I will say thank you. I appreciate you acknowledging that.
Yo, Little Kim, Nori, Jay Z, fuck them all. Mos and Quali paid me the most to DJ for them. Which is so weird, right?
It's real hip hop, you know.
When did you
Jay-Z does half a show like this on the Insta replay, like, oh, y'all like that one? Bam!
When did you do one with, when did you DJ for Jay?
A couple times, random, not steady. Like he'd be somewhere and didn't, like the first time it was in London and Clark, he got held up at the airport. So I was DJing for Kim and Jay was like, can you just DJ for me too? And then I played Ain't No Nigga on 45 and fucked it up. You hear him backstage like, yo. I was like, sorry.
That's hilarious. You played it on 45.
Right, he's like, fuck them all. Jay's like, fuck Cypher Saturday.
No, you played my shit on 45. You're not, no, you know who you're not. That's an impressive caliber of rappers you've DJed for. Hold on. Mos, Kim, Jay,
Cypher's
Quali.
A good DJ too for Black Star.
You did Black Star shows too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've DJed for some good ones.
Those were some good times, man. But like, because Quali asked me to DJ for him, but I was so hooked on the radio and being with Flex, I couldn't commit to them many days as he needed. He needed like a DJ every night because he was doing like 300 fucking shows a year back then.
Yeah. He don't fuck around. But
I fucked up.
That's a pretty impressive roster.
Who?
Yours, the people you've DJed for. To say that you've done that? Now you're not green.
And then I've done a lot of other one timers, like.
Like who?
I don't know. You know when you're in a club and they're supposed to do four songs?
No, I don't mean that though. I mean like you did a show
on the road. No, but Mos' show was dope because Mos' had, when he was doing that rock shit.
Black Jack Johnson.
The Black Jack Johnson was two dudes from Bad Brains. The one keyboard player was the keyboard player from fucking.
Bernie Worrell.
From Funkadelic or Parliament or some shit.
Yeah.
And it was one other dude. I forget who the other guy was. Was it drummer maybe or something?
Fish? Was it Fish or?
Yeah, one of those bands. And then Fishbone. I was the DJ. I was like, yo, this is sick.
I think the person whose DJ resume, I've told you this before, the most impressive DJ resume I've ever, that I know of. I'm sure back in the day there are other ones that are amazing. But Green Lanterns is retarded. Green Lantern.
A couple shows of Green.
Green Lantern. Oh, right. I wasn't even counting. Green Lanterns as tour DJ. What has been MJ Nas tour DJ'd for each? That's hip hop Hall of Fame. He's done. Didn't have to do anything else. Didn't have to do the Dead Prez mixtape.
But he did it anyway.
But he did it. Green Lantern is a real hip hop, Ed. He is one of the, one of the dudes.
Green Lantern, I met Green Lantern. I did an event called Brooklyn, Vermont. And it was Black Star supported by Eminem. But in the time we booked the show,
Black
the time
Star
we did,
supported by Eminem.
Right. The time we booked the show, the time we did the show, Eminem had dropped the record and was on the cover of Rolling Stone and it came out. So it was a creative decision that night made. You know what? Eminem has to go on last because everyone was coming to see Eminem. And Green Lantern was the DJ for that event. And that's how I met him.
Oh, really? That first night?
Yeah. Where was that?
In Vermont somewhere.
He was DJing for M that early?
No. He was DJing for the event. But for the event, yeah.
Good times.
You remember Eminem from back then?
Yeah, I remember Eminem from 88 Hip Hop.
Did you just really go there with me?
Yeah.
you went there. Listen to 88 Hip Hop?
88 Hip Hop.
You went to 88
The hottest room in the fucking city.
When you were listening to the internet radio, it was like you had to be such a nerd to be at that level of listening then. Because like having a proper player, using Real Player One or whatever the fuck it was back then.
I don't think I ever heard 88 Hip Hop on the internet.
You were just there.
You know what I'm saying? Up there. I used to see Eminem at SOBs, at Wetlands. Like this is when I was still sort of at open mics and running around the city. Eminem get dissed regularly. Over and over and over again until it was his turn to rap. And then it would be like, oh, got that.
Is that that has to be some inspiring shit to have seen.
Yeah, Eminem has kept it real the whole time through his career. And I watched Eminem. I don't know how it was in Detroit, you know, but I watched when he came to New York.
Get sunned.
Yeah, I seen the elevation. I seen him get dissed and come back and be better than everybody in the room. Get dissed, come back, and be better than everybody in the room over and over.
Does he pay homage when you see him?
I don't see Eminem that often.
That's like a ninja. Yeah.
But like the three or four times I've seen him since Brooklyn, Vermont, he's always been gracious and humble.
Always shows love.
His situation, my boy, I remember saw him when they did a Lyricist Lounge tour he was on the tour as an opener. And he was in D.C. outside the 930 Club. You might have been on this tour, too.
I did a couple of Lyricist Lounge shows.
930 Club outside putting up his Hi, My Name Is stickers and getting dissed at the fucking door. My boy saw, I remember him telling me that night, he's like, you know, this new white boy, blah, blah, blah. They wouldn't let him into his show. He had to, like, beg and get someone to let him in. He was like, no, I'm on the show. I always think about that, though. It's like that level of, like, how much he must have gotten shit on as the super skinny white dude.
Yeah.
Like, to then be like, no, I'm not just in the game. I own.
Have you ever seen Eminem in a pair of jeans?
No, Eminem does the Jordans and the Nike boots and it's tough.
If you want to buy yourself a pair of jeans, pretend you're buying them for M. Give him as a gift and then he'll return them to you. And then you can
never. I feel like you can't even picture him in light jeans, like really light colored jeans.
I make a fucking mission. One of my missions is to find the picture of him in jeans,
running pants.
I just like the fact that Eminem is hands down the biggest rapper in the world. And biggest music artist, when you think of this last year, no one did better than him in music. Yet he refuses to wear anything besides shit he's comfortable going to the studio in.
I love it.
That's it. It don't matter if it's a award show. He'll have this hoodie on without the logo on it.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? I don't even know what kind of pants he wears.
No, I've only really seen him in running pants.
Yeah.
He didn't give a fuck.
Right.
Yo, when I saw him, the last time I saw him was at the Drake concert in Toronto. And, you know, when his security team comes an hour before, searches everything, goes through everything, sees the wave in and out, then he comes in with the entourage. And they all just, like, you have to clear the way, they block all entrances.
Is his entourage gangster or like?
Like security, or like management, label people.
Not just D12.
No D12. It was just him. It was just him. He was just
But he doesn't have any goons? No original Detroit goons with him?
Yeah, sometimes. Not that day. But yeah, I seen him with goons. And fucking, they all just, they push everyone away.
Con artists, the non
probably. Yeah, that's.
And he fucking saw me. He looked back and saw me and broke from his entourage and came to say what's up to me. And I was just like, oh, what's up, Marshall? And he goes, what's up, Lewis?
You felt like the man. That's the level he's at, though. That you're
But I don't even ever you know when people start gathering when the entourage is coming.
No, you give. You're done.
I get away from it. I don't even want to bother. Like Jay dissed me that night.
That same night. And Jay, you actually know much better than you know.
He saw my shirt. I had a One Love T.O. shirt. He goes, stop sucking up to the fucking crowd.
That's love. That ain't no diss.
I know. Jay disses.
Jay-Z saying, Cypher Sounds, I love you.
You know, Jay disses Cypher in a very nice way every time he sees it.
No, he goes, yo, I'm with my girl right now. I'm about to play you, you little, fucking Puerto Rican fuck.
That's not my Dave Chappelle, my man Rubik's. You know Rubik's, my man Rubik's?
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle used to, man, just be like, fuck you, Rubik's, every time he seen him. But it was out of love. It was like.
No, you have to have love for someone to blatantly say fuck you to their face.
Right.
Yo, where's Chappelle, man?
Dave Chappelle has a farm in Ohio.
Do you ever see him?
All the time.
When? What do you mean all the time?
I seen Dave last time. Well, I haven't seen him since the summer, but.
But every year, you see him.
Yo, I email. Yo.
Dave don't use your email.
What does he use?
He don't use anything.
Can you book me a flight to Ohio?
Dave lives in Ohio. He has a Harley Davidson. He has a tour bus. And what he does is he books small gigs. And he either gets on his tour bus or gets on his bike. Last gig I did with Dave was, it was a Black Star show at a comedy club. Dave Chappelle, Black Star.
Wow.
Dave rode his
bike from
Ohio.
Could you let me know about stuff like that?
That's like your dream show.
I know. Ohio to San Francisco.
All right.
He on his rode bike. His bike?
Yeah.
Wow.
Got off, did the show. Got back on his bike.
Will you do me a favor? Will you please reach out to him and tell him that his old buddy, Cypher Sounds, because I know it make this guy's life,
right,
is now into comedy and just wants to spend an hour with him. Just wants to kick him.
I want
to
thank him. He put me on this path.
You just have to wait
until
you see him for that one.
He put you on what, the comedy path?
Yes, he said, yo, you're funny. You should do some kind of comedy show or something. Because when
he
was
doing the show, yeah.
He was like, yo, you should do some funny shit. Now I just want to go, hey, Dave, thanks.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say that.
You can say that to him?
Yeah, I can say that.
I respect that. That'll be nice, man. And tell him to please, please call him and spend some time with him. All right, we have to go. We have to go interview Cory Booker, but your album's out January 25th.
January 25th, go to iTunes or Amazon, wherever you get your digital music from, or you could go to Fat Beats and order the copy or whatever you need to do. Gutter Rainbows, you know, check for me.
You're now a two-timer on One Epstein.
That's right.